You got your Bible, turn to 1 Peter tonight, 1 Peter chapter 5. If your Bible is numbered page-wise, just like mine, it's on page 1875. But I have this super large print, so I probably have a lot more pages than you do in my Bible. 1 Peter chapter number 5. It's toward the end of the Bible. Come to a book of Hebrews, which is a little larger book amongst those, and it'll be just a little bit farther past that. Somebody's looking at their index. A very good place to go if you don't know where it is. Or helping her out. There you go. Well, I'm glad to see you guys with some Bibles in your hands. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look tonight. I've just entitled this, The Adversary and Advocate. The adversary and advocate. Those are two great big words. An adversary is our enemy. An advocate is our helper. Okay? And so we're going to look at the two sides of this night. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And I'm going to begin in verse number 1. And you notice here it starts out and says, The elders which are among you I exhort. The elders which are among you, I exhort. I will not go into it tonight, but an elder in this context is basically a pastor. Okay? So we're looking at a pastor. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Let me ask you, who's writing this book? We know the Holy Spirit, but who is he using? Huh? What's the title of the book? It's Peter, isn't it? All right, this is the Apostle Peter. He is writing this. There were three guys that got to see Jesus on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. He was in a glorified form, which he is now. But those three guys got to see him there, Peter, James, and John. And he refers to that here. He says he's a witness of the sufferings, but he was also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now notice verse number 2, he says, Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Do you know what lucre is? Who knows what lucre is? It almost sounds disgusting. Huh? Lucre. Virginia knows what it is, because she has a whole lot of it. What is it, lucre? Money, all right. It's called filthy lucre, all right. The reason for the filthy part of it is because of men's love for it, okay? And some things we could look at there as well. But notice what he says, Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So a pastor or elder becomes a leader. He's to oversee, okay? Not by constraint, but willingly. He said, okay, I will do that. The Lord wants me to do it. I will do that. Not for money, but of a ready mind. It's very important there. If I do this for money, it's for the wrong reason. I should not be here. If a fellow is asked to take a church and all he's interested in is how much are you going to pay me? By the way, if I die and you're looking for a pastor, that's the last thing you talk about. You find out God's will in the situation. And if it's all about money, something is wrong there. All right. So here it says what he's to do. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So there's a reward for this particular job. There's rewards that God has for many things. Now notice verse 5, Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now notice verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's study this a little bit. What does the Word of God teach us here that the pastor is to do? Verse number 2. What's he say the pastor is to do? It's a command. What is it? Look at it. Tell me. Talk to me. Verse 2. What's it say? You guys got your Bibles open. What's the first word? Feed. Feed who? The flock. All righty. God likens you and I to sheep. Okay? He likens us to sheep. And God says we, as pastors, are to feed the flock. In other words, that does not mean that I'm supposed to go out in the kitchen and prepare meals for you. We're talking about spiritual food. We're talking about taking the Word of God, just like we're doing right now, and sharing what this means so we can have a better understanding of it. Feed the flock which is among you. That's what God wants me to do. His teaching will invariably then expose and unveil the techniques of Satan, who wants to destroy you. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have asked Him to come into your life, you've put your trust, your belief in Him, understand something, the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to take you down. It is his objective. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelations, he's called Apollyon and Abaddon, which are two names that simply mean destroyer. They're a Greek and a Hebrew word that simply mean he's a destroyer. He does not build things. He destroys things. And He'd like to destroy you. And so from our text, I want us to discover tonight who our adversary is, a little bit about him, and our advocate. Our adversary is very well defined here in verse number 8. Notice here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary who? The devil. He is our enemy. What does it say? As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what does he say, or why does he liken him? What does he liken him to? The devil is like what? Like a lion. He doesn't talk about this lion other in the terms of he is doing two things. What is he doing? What is he doing? What's it say? As a roaring lion, he does what? Walketh about. Let's understand something tonight. The devil cannot hurt you if you will resist him. And all he can do is stalk you and roar and simply try to scare you. That's all he can really do. And we often, we get scared of different things, and we ought not be. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so he walks about roaring at us and seeking to what? Just sound dangerous. The only real weapon he has against you is fear. That's the only real weapon he has. He cannot touch us unless God allows it. We find that illustrated in the life of Job very wonderfully. And God says, boy, let me touch him. And God says, all right, I'll let you touch him. You just can't take his life. And God allowed several things to happen, but he could not kill him. God may allow certain things to happen, but never beyond what He allows. The devil cannot do any more than God will allow in your life. And by the way, he did it and allowed that in Job's life to teach him some great lessons. We'll see that in just a few minutes as we get towards the end of the message. He appears intimidating. If you were David and you came on the scene and there's this guy named Goliath who's nearly 10 feet tall. I mean, he carries a spear that weighs 20 pounds. Kenny, you throw a javelin, do you not? Discus. How much does a javelin weigh? What's the shot put weigh? 14 pounds? I doubt if a javelin weighs that much, but okay. This guy had a spear that weighed at least 20 pounds. This is a big dude. David comes on the scene and he says, hey, I'll go take care of this situation. I mean, David, he's a little Jewish boy. Probably 5'3". You know, 116 pounds soaking wet. And yet he goes out there as this little guy against this big guy. And no doubt Goliath seemed to be intimidated because all the armies of Israel, they're scared. But let's understand, what took Goliath down? One stone. Yeah. One rock that he could put in a sling and hurl at him. I want you to notice something because this is very important. It says, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You are most vulnerable when you're alone. In our day and age, for you young people here, it is dangerous if you are by yourself. You've probably been taught that since you were a little kid. When I was a little kid, listen, I roamed the city of Council Bluffs on my bicycle by myself sometimes. Nobody knew about somebody stealing somebody or taking off with them or molesting them or anything like that. It was just not unheard of. But certainly is in our day. And it's downright dangerous. And so we are taught to stay in groups. And the devil understands something. When you and I are alone, we are more vulnerable. Now we go back to the first part of this chapter, and we find it tells us there that a pastor is to feed the flock. One of the things that we need to understand is that a Christian is safer when he is with the flock. And oftentimes a Christian veers away from church and pretty soon they are in big trouble. And so there's that need to congregate. That need and desire to be with those to protect us. By the way, young folks, you know why gangs are so popular? Because of the same reason. It's a sense of belonging when they don't feel like they belong to anything, but it's also a place of safety. And they're willing to endure all the torments to get themselves into it. By the way, not a good place to go. But he seeks loners. Lions, like evil men, though they are tough, they seek out that which is of least resistance. In the fall, when the geese are flying, do you know what flies with the geese? There's another bird. It's a predator. And we see them in our area much more than we used to. Eagles. I remember one year going to the airport and I looked over. The ice was partly formed on Carter Lake. And I looked out there and there must have been 15 or 20 eagles standing on the ice. I pulled in a little area that's parking there just kind of looking. And behold, I began to scan the trees that are up above. I counted well over 30 eagles that were right in that vicinity. I came back here and our school kids, I said, let's go on the bus. We took an impromptu field trip and went over and watch the eagles on the ice. You guys ever seen them over there? They come in. Eagles follow geese. An eagle can beat up a goose, though geese are very tough. But what do eagles do? They seek out the weak geese, the old ones, those that are sick, those that perhaps can't catch up with the others, and that becomes their prey. The lion is looking for that of least resistance. That's why God says, resist him, he will flee from you. So here we find that he is after us. And a sheep, by the way, which we are, needs a flock. We need protection with others. We need a shepherd. We need a pastor, not just a preacher. We need somebody that cares about us. And herein, by the way, lies one of the great purposes of a church. It's a place of protection. Okay? But secondly, not only do we find the adversary of the devil, but what's, in my book, more important is the advocate. Notice verse number 7. What does it say? Casting all your care upon who? It says him. Who's it referring to? The Lord Jesus Christ. For he what? Careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God cares about us. He is the one who intercedes for us. Today, you and I, we pray. How do we end our prayers? We do this all the time. We don't even know what we're doing. How do we end our prayers often? What do we say? Amen, that's one thing. Something else we often... Yeah. We will say, in God's name or in Jesus' name. Okay? Do you know why we say that? Sometimes it's just we say it. But there ought to be a reason. We ought to understand we are going to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our intercessor. Have you ever been in great big trouble with somebody and you went to somebody else and said, would you help me out? Would you go talk to him for me? Yeah, that's an intercessor. No offense to our ladies, but when kids get in trouble in the home with their daddy, they will often go to mama, hoping mama will calm daddy down. Just the way it works. And so a child is seeking mama to become the intercessor to daddy. Did you ever have that happen, Mrs. Burgett? I'm sure you did. Her husband was one of nothing going to get by him, all right? Did you ever have that happen, Mrs. Lidgett? Okay. It goes on. Have you guys ever done that? Yes. Yeah, I'm sure you have. Yeah. That's an intercessor. Jesus is our intercessor to God. You see, our sin means that God must judge. But as our intercessor, Jesus is basically, though God doesn't need to remind him, but Jesus is basically saying, hey, I did this for them. I died on the cross for them. And there's something even greater than that. Have you ever been in a situation you didn't even know how to ask for help? Oh, I've been there a lot of times. The Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God takes over for us. We don't even know what to ask for sometimes. I've had kids bring math problems to me. They bring a math problem. I said, what's the problem? They say, they just point at it. I don't even know what to ask. They're so totally dumbfounded by the problem, they don't even know where to begin. And so I have to become my own intercessor and figure out where they're coming from, what the problem is. But that's what the Lord is to us. He's our intercessor. And he has that position. But also, he is our instructor. And he cares about us. And as our advocate, he seeks to instruct us. And he does that, by the way, through the man of God giving us the Word of God. Going back to verse number 2 and 3. Feed the flock. And being in samples. However, there is something that is a must if we are going to have that feeding take place. Notice verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. When I look at all of you tonight, and I see you come in here, and you sat and you pay attention and you listen, and you're submitting yourself and saying, I want to learn from that. God can use that. That submission. But if we come just to disrupt, just to cause trouble or whatever it might be, then we don't learn. But the key is also submission. Some folks say, boy, I don't get anything out of message. I don't get anything out of the teaching. They might sit in a Sunday school class or somewhere else, and the problem is not the teacher. The problem is the student. Because of an unwillingness to submit and to pay attention and to allow the words to come through. And that can be a problem. You have a question? Sometimes we're slow learners, aren't we? Okay? And sometimes we don't understand, but we can over a period of time. Okay? And sometimes there's going to be things that I say that you're not going to get because you're not ready for it, but somebody else is. I'm not blaming the student. No. There must be both. There must be feeding, but there must be submission. Okay? There needs to be both. You can submit and I can stand here and say nothing. It's not going to help you. Okay? And we as people, sometimes it takes us a while to understand things. So there's a process that goes forth. Okay? You're always thinking. She asked me a lot of questions, which, quite frankly, I like. Mm-hmm. But submission's putting us in a place of humility, saying, hey, I am willing to gain from whatever it is. Allowing the grace of God to work in our lives. And it's only God who can really thus save us. Humble yourselves in verse number 6. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, He may exalt you in due time. And so we must flee from the devil, realizing he seeks to destroy us. But we must, what? Submit ourselves to the Lord and His teaching. Through the Word of God, through the men of God that God places in our path. Okay? Now I want you to notice something. There's three tremendous things we need to gain and be of help to. Verse number 8, look at it. He says, be sober. Be sober. Don't allow distractions. We're not talking about not getting drunk here. Being sober. In other words, don't allow distractions to keep you from gaining. One of the things that often people that meet together for prayer before we get to church or get into church service, we will pray and ask God to take away the distractions. Be sober. Because there are so many things that distract us. Some of you know my daughter-in-law, Teresa. She sat in our church for, what is it, 7 or 9 years, I can't remember, and did not know Christ her Savior, pretended she knew Christ her Savior. And then one day she got saved, and I asked her, how in the world you sat here for all that time and not really get anything? She says, I allowed everything that happened to be a distraction. Every person who moved, any baby that cried, a bug on the ceiling. I mean, anything. And if there was nothing, then she began to think about what there was to do later on. But be sober. Be vigilant. Always alert to danger. If we're going to defeat the devil and allow God to help us, we need to be alert that the devil is after us. Be alert to those dangers. A sheep can only do one thing for protection, is flee to the shepherd. And you and I must flee to the Lord. And oftentimes, folks, they come fleeing to me, help. The only problem I have is I'm a sheep too. But God also gives us wonderful ability to labor together. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion. Notice verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished. The other thing we must do is just simply believe God concerning the victory. We can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask you a question. Why would the devil, or why would God allow the devil to have any access to you? Good thought. Why would God allow the devil to have access to you? Good answer. Why would God allow the devil to have access to you? Why does he allow that? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you. Okay. All righty. The old devil wants to stop you. Okay? I want to show you three things from the verse number 10. Those are good answers, by the way. Notice verse number 10. It says, after ye have what? Suffered a while. The devil, by the way, is always going to destroy, so it's going to bring suffering to you. But what's it going to do? Make you what? Do you see the word? What is it? Perfect. Make you perfect. Okay? In other words, God wants to use that to thoroughly complete you. I forget names. Dustin? If you were aboard and I had a hammer and a nail, and I took that nail and stuck it right through you because I wanted to place you in this building, would that hurt? Considering it's you.
It would hurt your feelings. Yes, it would hurt your feelings.
It would hurt very much. Well, let's just stay with a board for a second. If you're a board and you're just too big and I want to saw you off so that I can use you in a more perfect situation because you're just simply too big. You're not running because you're a board. I can catch boards. I might not catch you, but I can catch boards. Oh, yeah, I can. And when I catch you and I saw you off, is that going to hurt? Yeah. What I'm trying to get at, guys, is this. The Lord allows the devil access, and sometimes it hurts, but God is using that for a purpose. God is making us into a more beautiful person. You see, what makes you is not the easy times, but the hard times. Let's go to football. Any of you guys football players? We're going to play football. All righty. What's going to make you a better football player? Playing the kindergartners or the seniors? Definitely. Why? Because it's much more difficult. You see what I'm saying? And so difficulties make us more perfect. We follow? God uses that. He says the word here, establish or establish. It means to turn us in a certain direction. God allows that in our lives that we might go in the right direction. You see, a spanking, its purpose by God is that you might understand that sin hurts. Now, a lot of folks, they don't believe in spanking. I happen to believe in it. And some of you say, well, figures. Yeah, why? Because it teaches us that direction hurts. That's the purpose of it. Okay? It's not the purpose of an adult can beat up a child. That's not the idea at all. If that's going on, that's a different story. We might call that abuse. But a parent who wants to change the direction of their child can use pain to do it. Okay? So it's establishing them. There's another word here. It says strengthen. Strengthen. Over in the garage is a set of one of these, I don't know what you call them. It's a weight thing. One of those systems. And it's not just weights that you pick up, but you know, it's got all the levers and the poles and all those things. By the way, I'll sell it to you. If you come get it, I'll give it to you. I'd like to get it out of there. But it's, what is the purpose of that? We are, what, going against something else. What's that do? Bring strength to us. Because we have resistance. And the devil, the Lord uses him in that situation. I mean, he's smart, but he's not smart enough to realize that. And one last thing says, settle you. We're talking about building a foundation in your life. And the real reason God allows all of that is through that, making you a better individual through all those problems and situations that might bring glory to God. Not to make you look great, but to bring glory to God. That's the real purpose in it. See? When God changes your life and people see it and recognize it and see you as a better individual, that brings glory to God. And that's the greatest thing that can happen. When God changes your life and people see it, that brings glory to Him. And down the line we go. And when that happens to us, and there's what really ought to be the bottom line of everything, bring glory to God in our lives. Well, we have an adversary, it's the devil. He seeks to take you down. And we have an advocate, it's Jesus Christ. And what's neat about the whole story is our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, uses the attacks of Satan to improve us. When we put ourselves into His care. Now, if we run away from God's care and seek to do it ourselves, the devil's going to take us down. He will destroy. But that choice is ours. All righty. I trust there'll be some good thoughts and things there for you to understand. If I can get one thing across is this. We need each other as a church in this fight against the devil. We need that. And it doesn't matter if you're 14 like some of you or 84 like half the rest of them back here. Well, I don't know what they are. Mrs. Lidge's looking at me like saying, don't put me in that class. Okay. Whatever. She's 83. Oh, that's what he said. Okay. Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray you'll bless and work in every heart. Thank you for the attentiveness tonight. I pray you just help us to understand these very important things from your word. And help us know that we have an advocate with you, one who helps us, one who wants to take us through and to protect us. Lord, we thank you for that. Bless in the remainder of the time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.